You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Stop Hammer Time. My name is Phil Whelans, and with me here this week, as always, Jim Grott.
Good evening.
Hello, Jim. Happy New Year.
Hi. And to you.
Everything all right over at your place?
Yes, it is now. Yes, we've had the odd sort of health scare with my mother, but apart from that, we're all right now. Yeah.
But everything's stable now.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Excellent. Well, it's been not a bad week. We have drawn a game and won a game. Drawn a game in the Premier League and won a game in the Cup. And that feels like it could be a foundation to build on. Jim, you went to the Brentford Cup game.
I did, yes.
What was that like?
It was not a great game, to be honest. And particularly first half was very bland. It was fairly even sort of game. There was a sort of sense of, as so often you get with cup ties now, that neither team was particularly fussed about the way it would go. And then in the second half, I felt we did want it a bit more and probably just deserved to shade it, I think, in the end. But it was pretty uninspiring fare, has to be said.
Well, it was the sort of the obverse of the league fixture in the you know, in the home fixture against Brentford in the league, we had lots of possession, like 60-something percent possession. All the statistics were in our favour. In that cup game, we played more like an away team, or at least from the stats, it looked like we played more like an away team. We, you know, obviously we didn't concede. We must have been sort of soaking it up.
Yeah, although they didn't threaten unduly, to be honest. Our second half, I thought we controlled the game in midfield. I thought Paqueta had one of his better games that I've seen, and he and Rice were sort of in control of the midfield by the end of the game, really, or during the second half. They probably had a bit more of the ball, but they didn't do a huge amount with it, and we weren't unduly threatened, really. Sort of when Johnson comes in, we do quite often feel a little bit more stable defensively. I find that he's a decent defender, isn't he? He had a decent game. Emerson didn't have a great first half, but improved. And Antonio kind of, you know, put himself about, and it was. But it was just a sort of, it had a kind of slightly nothingy sort of feel about it, really, to be honest. However,
Ben Rama had a kind of super sub cameo.
Sorry?
Ben Rama had a kind of super sub cameo, which seems to be, you know, a fairly common thing, because it happened at Leeds as well. I think he came on, you know, 70th minute against Brentford and 80th versus Leeds. I'm not sure which of those.
He made a difference. He was a threat. You know, when he gets on the ball, he's prepared to to run at people. He certainly improved us, and it was a terrific goal. Although a weird piece of goalkeeping, the ball sort of wobbled, didn't it? The keeper just sort of seemed kind of wrong-footed by it in an odd way, because it didn't go in the corner. It went in the middle of the goal, but you'd have felt, if it was your goalkeeper, you'd be a bit disappointed in the fact he didn't actually attempt to save it at all. It was good. Yeah, and typical kind of great tackle on Wissa from Rice to win the ball that set it up. He was good, Ben Rama, when he came on. He did make a difference, I think.
You know, there's quite a sort of a lot of chatter on sort of social media about sort of, why doesn't he start all these games? I think that his highlights reel makes him look absolutely fantastic. But if you go every week and sort of see him throughout the course of a game, then you might have an inkling of why that is. I know that he slightly fanned those flames by, there was a, he was sort of caught by a sort of obvious piece of lip reading saying, "Why always me?" when he was substituted in a game a few matches ago. And, but again, I mean, you can see why. He's a very frustrating player, isn't he?
He is frustrating because you can see, he's got all the equipment. And I think he has improved this season. I mean, you've said this a couple of times. I thought, he was terrific early on. He was terrific in that away game at Forest very early on. And seems to be a bit more, seems to have sort of, not bulked up, but seems to be a little bit more difficult to knock off the ball, a bit more upper body strength, a bit more sort of confidence and swagger about him, I think, this season. And you need players to come off the bench and make an impact. And I think he fits that bill at the moment pretty well. He's had his fair number of starts though, hasn't he? And it's not that he's being kind of ignored or whatever. I think it's just a question of the best way to use him. And running at tired defenders, he's very good.
Absolutely. Well, but that's also a new aspect of his game this season. I don't think he ran with the ball as much as he did in previous years when he's been with us. In fact, I think he's been quite keen on sort of getting rid of the ball as soon as he's got it. I think not because he's trying to hide in the game, but because he thinks, a pass, will move the ball quicker than running with it, which is true, obviously. But the willingness to carry the ball and to run at defenders with it feels like a new sort of side to his game this season. And welcome as well. Like you say, running at tired defenders. I think, what perhaps people that, maybe just haven't seen him over kind of 90 minutes repeatedly are unaware of is the fact that he quite often just gives the ball away in a very dangerous position. We'll have an attack, we'll commit men forward, and then he will bewilderingly just kick the ball into the legs of a man standing in front of him. It'll bounce back and suddenly we're short at the back because we're facing, runners. And that, is frustrating. And I can't remember which game it was, probably Brentford. The crossings was a little bit just aimless, aimless. It's never, ever going to get to its intended target.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest frustration of all, isn't it, is that there is that sort of lack of end product. And that's why it was nice that he got the goal. Quite often you get excited because he gets past the man or whatever, but then quite often tries an overambitious shot or just, as they say, puts it into an area rather than picking out a player. And some of that's to do with the fact that when we get the ball in those areas, there isn't enough movement and presence in the box for me. We a lot of our attacking play seems to be at the moment is just to shift it from one flank to another and try and go sort of go round the outside of teams. And quite often, you know, there isn't really, you know, like Antonio or someone has gone out to be part of that passing, you know, triangles outside, you know, wide, and therefore isn't in the box, you know. You know, when Moyes had a real sort of impact on us, we were scoring goals on transition, but we were also at times, you know, getting players into the box. You know, Fornals would often be around the penalty spot, kind of having a sniff. Didn't always finish particularly well, but he was quite often, you know, in space. Suchet would often get in the box with a late run or get on the end of things. That just doesn't seem to be happening at the moment. We don't seem to be getting those midfield players into scoring positions. And the goals from open play have substantially dried up, haven't they? I mean, we're you know, it's a real problem.
It is,
you
know? I mean, one of the goals...
go on.
One of the goals against Leeds was a penalty, you know.
And the other one was a 25-yarder. I mean, from a defensive error. You know, so that... And the goal against Brentford in the cup was a goal in transition from 25 yards. You know, it's great that Scamacca scores the odd spectacular goal, which he's capable of doing, and we've seen that. But you really want him to be scoring some tap-ins. Don't you? We want to be creating chances where he just kind of tucks it in the 6-yard box, and we just don't seem to be making those chances.
We you know, as you said, while we were watching the Brentford game, we bizarrely, given that we've got sort of Paqueta and Rice in the centre of the park, didn't really do anything up the middle of the pitch. We were sort of aiming for the flanks. And there was a sort of bizarre situation. I talked about it a bit last week with Mark Webster, where, you know, we were playing against the Brentford league game at the London Stadium. We were sort of playing with wing-backs, but also Cresswell as the right side of a three was joining in, and Benrahma appeared to be playing on the left flank. Those front three players, the two wide ones, Bowen and Benrahma, were playing on the flanks as well. So what we saw quite a lot was Benrahma ran towards the corner flag, ably supported by Cresswell, ready to sort of overlap, and Emerson lurking, you know, in that thing. The overlap didn't happen. Benrahma tries to sort of cut inside, hits a dead end, so decides to pass to the overlapping either Emerson or Cresswell, who then, because everything's congested, passes it back to Rice, who then switches flanks to Soufal, and then there's a cross when Brentford had 10 people in their penalty area by now. You know, wing play requires a bit of pace. You know, there's got to be... They can't have everyone back by the time you cross it into their penalty area, you know.
No, I think that's right. And I don't know what it is. I mean, but is it a little bit of a one of those situations? I can remember years ago, you know, watching... I remember the team that went down, we're going a long way back, but in the late 80s, the 89, I can remember that team having the ball quite a lot and then just shoveling it from one side to the other, doing the same sort of thing. Like, nobody's really prepared to take the responsibility to have the shot or take the final man on, or, you know, and I think it's an indication of a lack of confidence running through the team, really. And hopefully, maybe... We, you know, obviously Leeds was a rot-stopping performance and result, and now with a bit of perhaps confidence from the cup, hopefully we can. You got games where you'd hope you can get points coming up. Maybe we can turn it around a bit. I don't know. It's a worry, I have to say. You know, in spite of the fact we've had a better week, it's still. You know, you don't feel that some of the kind of core problems have actually we've won a, you know, we won a game and we got a point, but it was interesting. I think it does look as though he's going to settle on Paqueta in a slightly deeper deeper role, doesn't he? It's just like kind of, you know, it's almost as though he didn't quite realise what he'd bought. There was a sort of sense in which Paquetá was the sort of marquee signing we could get rather than the one that we really wanted to get, even though he was sort of kind of about fourth choice, really.
Yeah. I think he maybe thought that he could sort of convert him, you know. He's a central midfielder, but, you know, he's a Brazilian, a fancy Dan Brazilian, and that you know, he could make him that kind of number 10 player.
Yeah. He isn't that kind of business, though. He is very much the nuts and bolts player in that Brazil side, isn't he? He's the nexus between their scintillatingly skillful and pacey front four and Casemiro, who sits in front of their defence, and he's a water carrier, isn't he, for Brazil, in fact. Plays slightly, sort of nominally plays in the space of the pitch where a number 10 would play, but isn't really a number 10. He's an artisan, isn't he? He's not a fancy Dan. He's an artisan. But I think he looks better in that slightly deeper position alongside Rice.
Yeah.
But what I'd like to see then is the scope to put a slightly more attacking player in front of them and getting closer to Antonio or Scamacca. That seems to me a potential way of solving the problem of getting bodies in the box and being able to play a little bit more through the middle.
Yeah. Well, I feel that, you know, whenever I sort of see a kind of 4-5-3 lineup, I, you know, get excited because what I'm sort of picturing is Harry's 4-5-3 lineup, which, you know, had wing backs, had a sort of a holding pair, Lomas and Lampard, in our case, Rice and Paquetá, then a number 10, Ayol Berkovic.
Yes.
I think Fornals would be good in that position.
Yeah.
And then two up front, Bowen and Scamacca, or Benrahma and Scamacca, or Bowen as a wing back, or Benrahma as a wing back. You know, they probably don't defend well enough. I'd say possibly Emerson, maybe, you know, there's quite a few that could have a go at being a wing back for us. Emerson, certainly. Ben Johnson, possibly. Kehrer, maybe, you know.
But not on the left. I mean, he started him on the left, didn't he, against Leeds? I mean, I agree. I mean, Kehrer. What is Kehrer? I mean, I don't know if you just talked about this last time, but
a little bit.
I'm slightly baffled as to what he is really.
Well, let's discuss that after this message.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back. Yes, we were talking about Kehrer. We saw Kehrer in his debut for us. He went straight into the team, didn't he, in one of the Europa League fixtures? Or was it a conference? Right. Conference fixture.
We went to that Man United game away where he played as a sort of conventional right back and was really good, I thought. He just seems to have serial mistakes in him, doesn't he? You know, he seems a bit. I suppose ideally, you know, he's the right side of a back three, possibly.
That yeah, might
be his best, you know, role.
Aguerd, Zuma, and Kehrer.
Yeah. Oh, as a sort of footnote, I would say Aguerd looked good against Brentford. It just looked very solid and assured, and you know, he's no fuss. Rarely wastes the ball as well. He seems to be good in possession. And that was obviously, you know, in some ways, Moyes has been unlucky with that, particularly with that injury, because obviously there was some kind of plan, I think, either to play a back three with him and Zuma and and Kehrer, or to have Zouma and Aguerd as the heart of your defence. And we haven't had a chance to play that defence yet.
No.
So, you know, you feel sorry for him in that respect. However, you know, having got our noses in front at Leeds, once again, it was a soft goal from a throw-in, you know, that let us down. And you just feel that the moment, that kind of steel and that kind of confidence, that kind of, you know, swagger that we had, certainly in the season before last and for the first part of last season, seems to have deserted the team, doesn't it, collectively? And it's a worry. Presumably talked last time. I'm sorry, I haven't listened to it, but you talked last time, presumably, about the Moyes situation at length, I've no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, my point in the last podcast was actually that I having watched the Brentford game on Match of the Day 2, for one of the only times in my life, I was swayed into changing my mind by Alan Shearer and Danny Murphy, who said, you know, they thought that of any manager in, you know, the Football League, if anyone deserved more time, it was David Moyes. And I was very swayed by that argument. I did think, you know, again, in their punditry, they sort of said that West Ham sort of played well for spells against Brentford in that game. And obviously the stats bear that out. I think the trouble is for us that we've seen that a lot this season. We've seen us playing well and losing. And, you know, what we said, you know, I turned to you quite early on in that Brentford game when we had that, you know, we really came out of the blocks in that game, didn't we? And had a really good first 15 or so minutes. And I said, you know, I hope this isn't going to come back and bite us in the arse, because we just don't score when we're, you know, dominating the game. And, you know, the other team has a spell, puts the ball in the net. As you pointed out, Brentford had pretty much two attacks and scored from both of them.
Yep. And, you know, defensively, we're loose, aren't we? You know, long throw for one of them, and our aging left back getting out muscled and outpaced for the other one. And, you know, I think it's a sort of toxic combination, isn't it? We are playing generally, our football is not bad. We're definitely always competitive in midfield in games. We have spells of quite nice possession. We occasionally work the ball into quite good positions for crosses and that kind of thing. You know, there is a sort of sense of, you watch them and they think, oh yeah, no, we're not playing badly. But it's that toxic combination of, we don't score from open play or very rarely. We don't create enough chances from open play, and we don't take them at, you know, shooting statistics against in that Brentford game, and that were dreadful. And then and the Leeds game, I think, weren't good either. And then we just will concede. I mean, you know, we are not keeping clean sheets, are we? just not. And I think that saps away the confidence of a team, isn't it? That you know, when a team is confident it's going to score or it can score, it doesn't matter if you concede the odd goal. Quite often in that the season before last, the big lockdown season, we quite often went 1-0 down, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we, you know, we went 1-0 down at Leeds and beat them 2-1, you know, and held on.
Fully confident we were going to put the ball in the net.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you can remember that Pardew team, you know, used to concede goals, but regularly would go, well, never mind, we're gonna score.
Yeah.
So you're not worried about it. Whereas I think this team has got a collective, has got a real problem. When it goes 1-0 down, it's in trouble. It goes 2-0 down, the game is over.
I really feel that you know, when we signed De Canio, whether or not it was, you know, sort of consciously stated out loud by Harry, probably was, but they really did seem to have a kind of game plan that involved get the ball to De Canio very quickly. And I sort of feel like, I feel like the last person they want to pass the ball to is Scamacca at the moment. They wait until he's got every single player around him and then try and put it on his head. And I really feel I'd like them to just go, we should get the ball to Gianluca as soon as we can. If they just, you know, had that in their sort of mindset, because he's a good distributor of the ball as well. You know, he's a talented footballer and
we need to get players closer to him, don't we?
Yeah.
He's too often too isolated. He's being asked to play a sort of slightly unfamiliar back to goal role, and he's learning as well. It's a combination of things, isn't it? You know, we've seen what good feet he has, and he can hold the ball up well. You know, I think he holds the ball up with control better than Antonio, in fact.
But
you know, you can only do it for so long. You have to have options and people coming in to play, and your third man running, as they, you know, as the old sort of Tony Carr exercise. You know, you have to have. We just don't seem to be doing that. He cuts a bit of an isolated figure too much of the time, I think, at the moment. You're right. I mean, just briefly, just to finish up, because come back to the Moyes thing. My view is if there is a genuine sense, I mean, if, you know, if the board are conscious that he is losing the dressing room in a sense, and that players are not happy in some way, and that they therefore feel he's not the manager to take the club forward, then I don't see the point of protracting agony, really. I mean, I don't like this kind of, well, Fabianski hadn't made that save at the end, with these, that would have been Moyes sacked, and he's got two games now to save his job. That should make no difference. All that doesn't help anybody. That just puts pressure on, unnecessary pressure. I don't see what's different. If you've made your mind up that he's not the right one and he's not going to be the manager long term, I think they should you know, pull the trigger now and give a new manager at least some of the window, possibly, to try and and half a season of games. Whereas I think what's going to happen is that they will sack him when the new manager doesn't have any transfer window and only has a third to a quarter of a season of games. That doesn't seem to be a sensible policy. I mean, personally, I don't like, as you know, I've never liked sacking managers. I think most managers need time and get better time. But I do feel I'm a bit out of touch, and modern footballers just get bored with managers. I think modern footballers go, oh, the training's still the same as it was two seasons ago. I don't feel, you know, we've had a couple of bad results. He's not changing. I haven't got any faith in. You sense that, you know, that they've got a kind of sort of slightly short attention span in that sense.
I think that's right. Well, I mean, I think footballers that are really good don't have that. They're able to kind of motivate themselves. They're kind of their part of their smartness is what, you know, puts an extra couple of zeros on their sort of cash value. But when they don't have that, they need, you know, again, I don't know, but I imagine that it's what I have seen a lot of is that kind of, you know, management training and the sort of motivational stuff, and people just need a new thing to think about, you know.
I think that's it.
It's not, you know, there was a little bit of sort of criticism of, like, you know, especially in, you know, things like Twitter, where people don't really have many words in which to express their frustration. There were quite a few people, you know, furious after the Brentford game, going, I'm really tired of this negative, boring, shit football. And thing is, a lot of these games, we're having more shots than the other team. We're having more possession than the other team. I don't think it's a particularly, you know, Aladician or Pulis style, boring style of football that Moyes is imposing on them. You know, what's happening with those 20 shots is that none of them are going in the fucking net or just within the frame of the goal, you know? And I'm not sure there's much that he can sort of do about that? You know, it's the ball's in their court, literally, if it's a question of getting it, you know, inside the post or outside the post. It's also, you know, it's difficult, but I, you know, this again is something that I guess the manager should be equipped to sort of do something about. I think sort of it's not entirely Moyes' fault that a couple of players just weren't at the races at the beginning of the season, and a couple sort of still are not really at the races. Suchek and Bowen particularly, you know, mm-hmm. sort of two of them.
Yes, there's been a drop off in form. Definitely there. And also injuries, you know. You could argue that perhaps looking at it, maybe better due diligence could have been done on Cornet, who does look as though he's going to turn into one of the perennial sick notes, a la
unbelievable.
Dyer. Yeah. But the one with Aguirre was just unlucky, wasn't it? And that was, you know, and he was the first signing. He was the one they obviously really wanted in terms of the defence. You know, and I think it does... The fact that he hasn't been able to field his first-choice defence has mattered, I think, you know, and you've got to, and we just, you know, those first few games of the season, yeah, the rub of the green didn't go our way, did it? You know, hit the woodwork a lot, VAR decisions that were a bit sort of shit going against you. And you get, you know, it's such a tight league. Everything is so, every game is so competitive, particularly this season, isn't there? There's nobody who's just going to be cut without trace, is there?
No, it doesn't seem to be.
Southampton are heading that way, but you know, even they just won at Palace in the cup, and they might have a run, you know. So it's really, really tight. A couple of wins and we will be, you know, kind of almost in the top half,
sort of mid table.
That applies to all the teams down there, really. So it's these really, really tight margins, and that. You know, once you're in that position, the pressure increases. You know, just a couple of those things to have gone our way in the first three or four games of the season, I don't think we'd be having all this angsty kind of conversation. So I don't think it is fundamentally, as some people would have it, about Moyes as a manager or Moyes' style of play. I don't think that's necessarily fair, but I do take the point that it does look as though the players are not playing for him in the way that they were. They don't believe in him quite in the same way, and I think that's a problem. I feel the club's more important, and if that's the way it is, then probably he should go. And if he's going to go, he should go.
Are you aware of that being the, you know, the talk as well, that Moyes has sort of maybe lost the dressing room a bit?
Are there sort of rumours abounding that that's the case? I think there are. And I think there's a sort of just a bit of a whiff of it coming off the pitch, isn't there? Not necessarily, you know, I don't think people are not trying, but there is quite that. The heads go down a bit, don't they? Yeah. It's that sort of sense of a team that's lacking a little bit of kind of collective self-belief a sort of sense that Declan Rice increasingly is kind of running around madly, shoring the whole thing, shoring everything up. Everybody else seems to be kind of going, well, don't, you know, Declan, what, you know, it's not going to work, mate. And that worries me, you know, having seen good teams struggle in the past, as we have, you know, it's West Ham, it's in our DNA, isn't it? Have teams with good players who still struggle to get results. I mean, that's, you can go
I think,
back to
you know, it. I think what happens as well is that players kind of slightly churlishly go, okay, I will go out there and do exactly what you told me to do.
And then
sort of come back after getting beat going, whoa, you know, you're the manager, you told me to do that.
Yes.
You know, I sort of felt, I that's what was so sort of strange about this kind of weird overload on the flanks, especially the left flank with Emerson, Cresswell and Ben Rama all sort of populating that touchline. Clearly, they haven't been sort of told to do that, but you know, it just sort of slowed the game down so much that each of them had to kind of have a touch of the ball. It's like, you know, wing backs are supposed to be wing backs, but I don't, you know, and what it sort of meant was that there were wing backs overlapping with fullbacks, then overlapping with wingers again, because that sort of front three didn't stay close enough to Scamacca.
And
should arguably have been a front two, you know. That is worrying when the sort of dressing room is lost.
There are definitely rumors. I mean, I don't think it's quite as spectacular as, you know, and they must still remember that you know, he's given them good times, but the league form was bad towards the end of last season as well, wasn't it? So to be fair, we're heading towards what you know, 9 months of below par performances and results aren't we? So, you know, no manager, it doesn't matter how much credit you've got in the bank, this is the modern football, isn't it? That you know, you're not going to get the time, and Moyes will know that, and the players will know that, and they either will, you know, roll their sleeves up and say, well, we're loyal to you and want you to stay, or they quietly in their own way, you know, let it know that they want to change. I think it's all about player power in one shape or form these days. What do you think about the argument that sort of, you know, no missing Noble and Stuart Pearce in particular has meant, you know, kind of a lack of, so we've lost a bit of, I don't know, discipline or passion in behind the scenes.
It's a sort of easy go-to, isn't it? You know, quite often when football fans, you know, the constant cries to, you should get Dixie in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Dixie in the dressing room. As if it's like, you know, he's going to tell them to go and sort of just break the legs of the opposition team players, and that's how we'll win the game, is by injuring all the other players, and bizarrely the referee will forget his red cards. You know, this notion that a player has a certain either personality or set of attributes that they can then sort of just teach to someone, or that someone will sort of soak it up by osmosis when they come in, you know. Just get Paolo in.
Yes.
You know, but you know, it's not a, you know, it is a compelling argument. He lost Alan Irvine, you know, Stuart Pearce and Mark Noble from the kind of behind the scenes. And perhaps that is a sort of, that is something of an issue, you know.
Doesn't feel like Warburton's, you know, replaces that skill set or whatever you want to call it, does it?
Really? Yeah.
It's
quite possible that, you know, certainly you get these managers like Clough and Ferguson that are a sort of like, they're like a CEO, they come and deliver a kind of motivational speech to you rather than actively do any sort of training or that sort of stuff. Moyes, from what we've seen, does actually like to be involved in training and does like that sort of thing. But perhaps, you know, leans quite heavily on the sort of the professionalism of the players themselves rather than having, you know, anyone to sort of motivate them and be their friend, you know.
I mean, I think Moyes is sort of old school in the respect that he expects to be a club, you know, he wants to build a club over a period of time, he wants to do all the, you know, what he did at Everton over a number of years. And it does feel to me, unless through sheer results you get yourself into a position of such power, like a Guardiola or a Klopp, or you have done that building a team up so it's yours, like Potter was at Brighton.
Yeah.
I think unless you're that, I think the modern manager, a lot of the top modern managers almost build their game on the assumption, build their planning on the assumption they're going to be a club for 2 to 3 seasons.
Yeah,
like Mourinho does a 3-season sort of cycle almost now, doesn't he? And Conte is pretty similar. It's almost that everything's predicated on you'll get a load of money, so you've got to spend it well in your first transfer window or two, because that's when, you know, the owners have bought you in, so they're going to give you the money to do it. And then, you know, that intensity of producing results in a short space of time, and that and they're very, you know, obviously very, you know, skilled and at doing it. Whereas I think Moyes is that kind of, I don't think he thinks about of it in that way. I think he has definitely used the club to rehabilitate his career and reputation. And was, I think, hoping to do another Everton at West Ham. And I suspect he's not going to get the chance. He's not going to get the chance to do it. West Ham is in really, it really falls between the stools of a properly big club, doesn't it? And, you know, a yo-yo club. It's not really a yo-yo club. Not a big club.
But again, that was the kind of beauty of Moyes' Everton. They were the sort of club we aspired to be, because they didn't have a huge amount of money at that time. No. They'd had several, you know, like Joe Royal. They'd had sort of several managers and built an enormous baggy squad. And Moyes kind of came in and was the solution to that a little bit.
Oh, you've frozen for me.
Oh, have you? No, can you?
I can hear you now. You froze on my.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't get that last point you made. You were talking about Everton.
Oh, right, yeah. You know, they were sort of the team that we kind of aspired to be, I think, because they didn't have a lot of money. And also, you know, they would occasionally go through some, you know, lean times, but they stuck with Moyes, you know.
Yes, they did. But I do think that was then. And by that, you know, they stuck with him early on. I think maybe his second or third season there, they very nearly went down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, having got them through that, they stuck with him. But it's easier to stick with a manager who has really built a team and has that kind of power. You know, I don't think he's quite got to that point. I do think that the club as it is at the moment, assuming it stays up, is very, very well placed for a young, aspiring, you know, lots of ideas manager to make his reputation. It really does feel. I was disappointed when Potter went to Chelsea, because I think he would be a fantastic fit for our club, and it does actually look as though he's not going to last there, doesn't it?
No, I don't think he is going to last there.
So who knows? It might be that, you know, before the end of the season, there's a bit of a merry-go-round, and we end up with someone like him.
Well, there was a little bit of talk when it looked like, you know, Moyes was really on the brink of Tuchel, Pochettino, and someone else, I think. You know, those were sort of, obviously, because I think they're currently unemployed, aren't they? Don't think Pochettino's working at the moment. Tuchel obviously isn't. There was another one as well. I can't remember who.
Well, I went to the Brentford game with Gary Killington, and he, on our drive there, he made the point that it's very unusual for West Ham to go and poach a manager from someone else. We nearly always just employ unemployed managers. I was thinking, when was the last time? That was probably Pardew. We poached Pardew from Reading, wasn't it? Because there was some thing where he had to go on gardening leave or whatever. So that would have been under not even the Icelandics, would it? That would have been under Brown, wouldn't it?
Terence Brown, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, because he was saying, oh, it'd be great to just go and grab company or someone like that from Burnley, or someone who's starting to forge a reputation, has got some big club credibility in their locker in terms of their play, you know, their playing days. I think there's something in that. There's something that would be where I'd like us to go, rather than just simply get the biggest name manager who doesn't happen to have a job at the moment, you know. We'll see.
But you know, these next few games are sort of very crucial. I think part of the problem, you know, again, it comes back to players, you know, not playing sort of at their best, is that the ones that sort of may well be playing for him and doing their absolute best to keep David Moyes' job and keep us in the division are ones who are physically less able to do that, like Aaron Cresswell, who I think is a sort of model professional. But I think, you know, there was nothing he could do about being turned by Tony, you know, against Brentford. He just wasn't big and strong enough to sort of be able to do that. And I think a few years ago, he would have at least had the pace pace to turn, and he just doesn't now. Similarly, you know, another player I forgot to mention who sort of really sort of hit the ground walking was Soufal this season, who I think there's been a bit of an been a bit of an uptick, actually. He looked good in those games in the winter break during the World Cup, and I think he's looked, you know, more like his old self recently, though perhaps still not, you know, quite firing on all cylinders. But, you know, he's never been blessed with, you know, the greatest pace, but he was a good reader of the game.
I think he's still a solid fullback. I think he's always been slightly limited going forwards. And now, I think, you know, just lacking a bit of pace, possibly,
He
got injured at Leeds, didn't he? I don't know if that's he went off injured anyway.
Yes, there is every possibility that we sort of, you know, perform sort of badly in the next couple of games, and then the managerial change will still happen. I do sort of feel that, like, you know, this does represent a potential sort of turnaround this week. You know, I think when Moyes inherited these sort of a misfunctioning team from Bilic and Pellegrini, it took a little while for things to change. And, you know, that Brentford game, which I know we lost 2-0, but he did do some things that certainly the fans were crying out for. He played Paqueta deeper, played three at the back, you know, Emerson got a start, Scamacca started, you know, Benrahma. So he is trying to sort of make changes.
I think he always has that. I mean, I think the idea that he's some kind of quasi Allardyce has never been I've never bought that argument at all. My thinking about, you know, getting rid of it is, as I've explained, I just think that's possibly, you know, to the way modern football is. I often feel too much is read into. I think managers quite often at that level are sort of much of a muchness in a way, apart from perhaps the elite few who can, you know, in the end, either you've got the budget and you can buy yourself out of trouble, or you've got some ideas that players will buy into for a period of time, and if you're lucky, you get the chance to kind of rebuild and build a squad over a period of time, you know, and then you get yourself into a sort of slightly unassailable position as the governor, you know. Moyes has not got to that point at West Ham yet. He did at Everton, I don't know. I suspect that was then and this is now, and he won't get the opportunity, I don't think. But
right, also, yeah, interesting. Depends how the next couple of games go. We're playing Wolves next weekend.
Yeah, Wolves. Not a happy hunting ground, has it been in recent years? But you feel as though that's a game we can get. That'll be a close, tight, you know, one goal or either way sort of game, is my suspition.
Well, at home we've done well, you know, in the lockdown season and the following season, we've been 4-0 or something, didn't we?
Not done so well up there, but...
No.
Hopefully we just get some breaks. We haven't had many of the breaks, and maybe we just get a little bit lucky and nick it, you know, 1-0 or 2-1, I think. Maybe go 1-0.
1-0.
Maybe we tighten up at the back and, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to go 1-0.
Yeah, I might have to go for a draw again.
Wouldn't surprise you, would it?
No, I mean, that's what both Mark Webster and myself thought about the Leeds game. I think he went 1-0 and I went 1-2 and I went 2-2. Yes, I think I'm going to say, I might say 2-2 again. You know, I think, you know, these games are crucial, but they are also away games. We were very good away from home, but I don't know that we're still quite the force we were away from home. I mean, we've been very unlucky away from home. Good performances.
We have been.
Chelsea, then, Manchester United, Nottingham Forest, you know, all of those were, Everton, should have won that. All of those games we should have won. We could have won.
You feel that, you know, Wolves away, Everton at home, a minimum of 3 points.
Yeah.
He needs to save his job, I suspect. And we need to give us, you know, we're going to be in big trouble if we don't get at least 3 points in the next two games, I think.
No, absolutely.
We'll probably be properly in the bottom three. But are we just outside it on goal difference at the moment?
Yeah, on goal difference, yeah.
You know, you don't want to get into a position where you're really chasing it. You know, at the moment, a couple of wins and there's some breathing space and so on. And, you know, February is looking quite tough. Newcastle, Chelsea, Spurs. Yeah. That's, you know, so you'd be doing well to get any points from, I mean, maybe a Chelsea at home, I fancy, in their current parlous state. But tough to go to Newcastle now.
Just getting a bit of confidence from those couple of games, though, the Wolves game and the Everton game will help.
Will make a huge difference. Yeah, exactly. You know, and maybe, you know, a couple of players back, Zuma back, perhaps. You know, I don't know how far Corne is off, but that would, yeah, you know, who knows? Yeah. It could all turn around. I mean, I don't think we're, clearly there is both the quality of player to for us to be at least comfortably mid-table. We know that, don't we? And I think there's also some character. They're not complete wusses, you know. I mean, Paqueta's got a bit about him, I think, actually.
Yeah.
You know, he might not have been what they expected they were getting, but he is quite a battler. You know, they are prepared to get stuck in. I feel he's got to find a way of regularly getting Fornals in the starting lineup, because
yeah, me too.
I think Fornals' energy is infectious, and you know, he makes a bit of a difference to
I agree.
The pressing and all that sort of side of the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's probably it for this week. This has been Stop Hammer Time. My name's Phil Whelans. With me has been Jim Grant.
Cheerio.
Come on, you Irons.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.